Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for your great and mighty love with which you have loved us. We give you all the praise because you are a faithful God. We pray as we get into your word today that our eyes of understanding is enlightened and that by your spirit there is revelation knowledge of your son in the name of Jesus. We give you praise. There is faith. There is understanding. There is power. There is faith arising in our hearts today as we hear your word. There is understanding, there is light, there is clarity in the name of Jesus. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So we have been talking about one Christ, one story. One Christ, one story. And the idea of this study is to study the Old Testament of the Scripture, of the Bible, and the New Testament, what we refer to as the Old Testament and the New Testament of the Scripture. The idea for us is to review, or better put, benchmark the Old Testament vis-a-vis the New Testament to better understand what they were saying, what the prophets of the Old Testament, or the writers of the Old Testament, what they were saying, all right? Now, we said so many things about what they said that I don't want to, well, we touch on them, all right? That God, one of the things we've said quickly without too much recap, because I want us to travel some distance today, is that God, people wrote several things about God in the Old Testament. Why not let's just read the scripture? I wasn't going to read it. 2 Timothy. We started 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. Yes. Where's Praise? Praise, so if you have any question today, all right, you can just let me know after service, all right? And I'll clarify your question, okay? Well, please listen. If you have any question for me, I'll be expecting your questions, okay? Isaac, how are you? You good? Good boy. I like your new hairstyle. It's good. And Ogabilo's hairstyle as well. Praise God. Anyway, let's save time. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. You know, that's me trying to buy my way for focus and attention with those boys. Now, and that from a child, you have known the Holy Scriptures, all right? Holy Scriptures, all right? So that word holy there means separated, holy, sanctified, Scriptures. We said Scriptures there, they are things that were scripted down, all right? Graphe, he calls it, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. It is all of this scripture. All the scripture is given, or all scripture. Now look at it. All scripture, the is there, is actually in italic, so we can read it without it. All scripture given by inspiration of God and profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness. So one of the things we've said is that that word scripture refers to these writing, the scriptings, things that were scripted down. And one of the things that we've said is that God inspired, as we've read in verse 16, the writing of the scripture, all right? But not responsible for all the things that were said in the scripture, all right? So because of that, it calls for study. It calls for a careful reading, all right? Knowing that you will see some things being said here, but if you come to the other bit, all right, of the scripture, it looks contradictory. Whereas there is no contradictions, or there are no contradictions in the scripture, all right, we may just need to read well, just adjust the lens, or do some more review or some more study for us to better understand what the Bible is saying. And that's the essence of this study, all right? To let us know that it is one story, it is one Christ, and it is the same story from the beginning of the scripture, from Genesis chapter 1 to Revelation chapter 22. Praise God. And even till today. Praise God. Now, let's read some scriptures quickly. So, you understand what we're trying to do now, right? All right? So we just want to understand those Old Testament scripture vis-a-vis the New Testament and be able to correct some understanding that we have. 1 Peter chapter 1. We're going to read a lot of scriptures today. All right? A lot. We've got about almost 40 scriptures. But don't worry, we're just going to read. And so 1 Peter chapter 1. So the men who scripted the things or the writings of the Old Testament, we refer to them as prophets. All right? They were speaking on God's behalf. They were the ones that are, well, not all of them were prophets. All right? But then technically you can call them prophets. But who are prophets? Prophets are those who spoke or who were speaking on behalf of God. All right? So they are prophets. All right? Let me tell you something. If you go out on evangelism to preach, you are a prophet because you are speaking on God's behalf to someone else. So, you know, in that sense, we are all prophets. But then let's leave that. All right. So those men, they wrote things down. So let's see what they wrote down in verse 10. Let's read verse 10. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 10. He says, of which salvation the prophets, all right? So Paul was talking about salvation before then, right? He says, of that salvation which the prophets, he says, they've inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come to you. You don't see? So he says that, now, based on what we've said earlier, there is one action that is missing there. I'll tell you the actions that are here, so maybe it can help us to understand what I'm saying. It says, of which salvation the prophets have inquired. That's a verb, all right? Though abstract, meaning, maybe not abstract. They searched diligently, they inquired, they prophesied. Now, which more did they do? We've just read it earlier. They inquired, they searched. It's not here actually, but they did it. It's not, we want to infer that here. We know it. Maybe I'm not asking the question. We all know it. Maybe I'm not asking the question, but I will ask again. So the prophets, they inquired, they searched diligently, they prophesied of the grace that should come. What more did they do? They foretold, they prophesied, yes. What more did they do on behalf of God?
They proclaimed.
Okay, we read it in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse
16. They thought, right?
Okay. They wrote it down. We said it now, right? They scripted the scripture. Right? They wrote it down, right? It's there. It's not here, but it's inferred, okay? Because they were the one that wrote the scripture down for us. Praise God. All right? So pay attention now. I need to run. It says that they prophesied of a grace that should come to us. So it means that what Moses, what Jeremiah, what Isaiah, all of the, what they were saying, they were talking about some things that should come to you and I. Right? That calls for us to go back and see what they were writing, right? So that's what we are studying, all right? It calls for us to check, all right? So you said Moses, Jeremiah, all of them were saying something that should come to us. It calls for us to study and review what they were saying. Romans chapter 1, 1, 2, and 3. I read quickly. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. So God has got a gospel. All right. Now in verse 2, he says, that gospel which he promised afore. How did he promise that? Through his prophets. So how did we get to know? In the Holy Scriptures, meaning they wrote the promise of God down. What God promised, what God proposed, what God had on his mind. All right. They wrote it down in the Holy Scripture. All right. Now, verse 3. I like verse 3. Now, that gospel, that promise, you know, that was promised, that was written, that was scripted. What was he about? Or what was he about? Verse 3. Concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David, according to the flesh and all. But then the point is that that promise is concerning our Lord. So it means that all of the holy prophets. So again, I mean, I'm just doing this to get into the groove of the teaching today. So when we say holy, when we say prophets, as I've mentioned them again, just I just want our examples of prophets, one each, that we can see in the Bible. Prophets in the Bible. Isaiah. Who said Isaiah? If I've said one is just Isaiah. Okay. Who else? Elijah. Thank you. Who else? I need two more. We have a lot of them. Amos. Thank you. David. You're correct. All right. Now, those will be the men that will script things down. All right. And what they were scripting down is concerning Jesus. Now, we are getting to the point now. But if you read their stories, you won't see Jesus. David didn't mention, none of them mentioned, maybe the closest was Isaiah that said his name will be called Emmanuel. All right? That gave us an idea. But Moses, all right? They all spoke in a way, in a type, all right? But they did not really mention. So it calls for us to really study it. And that's the essence of this study. All right? That's the essence of this study. Just one more. Romans chapter 16. So what I've done here is to see the beginning of the letter that Paul wrote to Rome in chapter 1 and to see the closing chapter as well. So we've read Romans chapter 1, the very first verses. Romans chapter 16. Let's go to Romans chapter 16. The very last scripture as well. Or the very last verses as well. Verse 26 and 27. Or let's start from verse 25. Romans 16, 25. I read. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel. Don't forget that gospel, okay? The gospel of God. Now, it says, and of course, you know, we've clarified what it means. My gospel, it says that gospel is the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began. Verse 26, but now is made manifest. So, it's made manifest. How is it made manifest? It says, by the scriptures of the prophets. Can we say, by the scriptures that the prophet wrote? Are we still going to be in good with that? Yes. All right. So, by the message of the scriptures, of the prophets, all right? According to the commandment, again, look at it, to the commandment of the everlasting God, all right? So that scripture, what they wrote, is according to the commandment of the everlasting God, but now has been made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. So what the prophet wrote, the essence of it is to produce faith, is to make men obey. Is to make men believe. It says, for the obedience, God commanded those scriptures, the prophet to write those things down, all right, to the end, all right, that it will produce faith, to be made known to all nations so that it can produce obedience of faith in men, all right? So therefore, we've read all of those to see, prophets, scriptures, but then a proper reading of the Old Testament that we've seen, because that's where we're going to see all of the details, all of the writings of the holy prophets, all right? A proper reading of the Old Testament requires us to study it carefully. It requires a careful study of all of the prophecies, of all of the message, the things that the prophets were saying. It requires us to study it, to carefully read in between the lines. Why? If we don't, we may miss some truths. Like I've said, God was responsible for the scripting, but not for the things that were said. We're going to see some things today, all right? Now, let me just read. I wrote some things here that I want us to note. What we refer to as the Old Testament, it contains different things, different messages, different style of writing and all. Number one, you're going to see the promise, all right? God made a promise in Genesis. So you see the promise, all right? You will see types and shadows. I want us to know that, okay, let's leave that. You will see types and shadows, all right? You will see the law where, you know, the law was given to the children of Israel. You will see poetry, all right? The Proverbs, Songs of Solomon, Ecclesiastes. You will see poetry there. Now, still in the Old Testament, you will see historical narrative and events. Historical narrative and events. Things like the story of creation, Exodus. Those are significant historical narrative and events in the scripture. All right? Exile. People, you know, being taken into exile. You will see that story. Conquest, war, battles. We see that here. There also. Then one of the things we see also is example of faith and example of unbelief. Still in what we call the Old Testament, you will see people who believed God. You will see a Rahab, all right, that we that still to today we still refer to as Rahab the harlot. But then, all right. Now, but then you will see, and how will you see that? Notice. He made a statement. He said, I have heard of your God. That's a statement of faith. How she did this, how your God did this, how, you know, perished the chariots of Egypt in the sea. He said, that was the only statement she made. That please save myself and my. That's the only thing. I'm not sure. Bible didn't record that she ever stepped into Israel. But then he said, I've heard. And she believed. All right? To today. That woman is in the same line, in the lineage of Christ Jesus. Right? Now, so you will see all of those, you know, I'm quickly coming out of that. You will see narrative, all right? Examples of faith, examples of unbelief as well, people that will not believe God. Example of Cain. Cain, you know, will not believe God. Example of Adam, the first Adam that will not believe God, all right? You will see, I call this theocratic institutions, all right? You will see priests, the priesthood, the kingship, all right? You will see all of those institutions there, all right? You will see sacrificial system. All of those, there are institutions in the Old Testament. Then you will see the psalm, different things in the Old Testament. So, therefore, it calls us to read it carefully. That's where I'm going with that, all right? Now, let's move forward quickly because the point I want to make today is still ahead of us. However, we cannot arrive at a complete, let me not use a, at the complete knowledge of God, reading the Old Testament alone. I mean, now I'm building on what we said some 3 weeks ago, all right? If you read the Old Testament alone, you will know God. You will know God. But you will not come to a complete, total, absolute, entire knowledge of God. All right? Now, like we said, a strand of your hair is still part of you. All right? But I can't hold a strand of your hair or a part of you or something to say, I know you. No. All right? So, because the Old Testament, we read it in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. All right? We said it was in portion. It was in parts. It was progressive, all right? Which makes sense when God said, in the day that I make a new covenant with them, they will know me. They will have a full knowledge of me, all right? So let me take that again, all right? We cannot arrive at the complete knowledge of God by reading the Old Testament only. The knowledge of God in the Old Testament was real, was true, yet it was partial and it was progressive. We keep saying that as part of this series because it's so important, all right? It's partial, it's progressive, meaning that we cannot just hold on to just a portion of the Old Testament, all right, and absolutize it. No, all right? We need a fuller revelation in the New Testament for us to be able to do that, all right? God's revelation, the God revealed in the Old Testament, however, we must say that as well, that God is not different. It's still the same God, all right? It's just that his knowledge, his revelation was not full at the time. People were progressing in his knowledge. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 8. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 8. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 7. I'll read it quickly. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 7. We're coming back to this next week, but I'll just read through and make my point. Look at it. Hebrews 8, 7. It says, "For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. For finding fault with them, he saith, behold," look at it, "the day comes, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant." We're going to come back to that place next week. All right. So it means that God gave them a covenant. God gave them a promise. They didn't continue with that. He gave them another law. All right. We'll come back to that. Now, verse 10. "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind. I will write them on their heart. I will be a God to them, and they shall be to me a people." Verse 11. "They shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord." All right. "For all shall know me, from the least to the greatest." All right. So we pulled out the fact that they shall know me, which suggests to us that the knowledge of God there, all right, is in the Old Testament is somewhat limited, partial, true, real, all right, but it's partial. It's not the entire knowledge of God that they have. But then it's not just here alone. We see God from all of the prophets, almost all of them, all right? He says, "I will do a new thing. In those days, I will do something new," all right? Your children, they will be taught of the Lord. He's talking to the fathers that they will be taught, meaning that God will give them a fuller knowledge, a better knowledge of himself. Now, let's backtrack a bit. I want us to study, just to read some of the understanding of the men of the Old Testament, all right? And we're going to compare that knowledge to, we're going to benchmark that knowledge, all right, with the understanding of the New Testament, all right? So we're going to read some stories of the Old Testament that people said it was God, it was Jesus, and all of those, all right? But then we will now benchmark that to the light that we have in the New Testament. You know, have you heard that? That say, oh, the God of the Old Testament catches people very fast. That the God of this New Testament is like he's slow. Painting a picture that maybe that God changed. You didn't hear that saying before. That the God of Old Testament will catch someone very fast, sharp, sharp. But the God of today seems to slow down. Well, people just didn't know God better. All right? It's the same God in the Old Testament that is still the same God in the New Testament, and is the same God today, and it does not change in his nature. Praise God. But then I want to also read about people, we're just going to read scriptures. A man that came to mind is the man Job and his dealings. All right? Some of the things that he said. Praise God. Let's go to Job. Job chapter 1. Job chapter 1. Are we see together? Job chapter 1, verse 6. I mean, we can't read the entire book of Job. All right? Now, look at this. Job chapter 1, verse 6. Are we there? "Now, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them." Look at that. So it suggests to us, Mati, that we can come together and a Satan comes among us. But that's not what the Bible teaches us. Particularly, let me tell you what I'm talking about. Particularly, when we read Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, all right? See what he said? He said, he has translated us. All right? So talking about a separation from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. It tells us you know, in Corinthians chapter 1 Corinthians chapter 5, chapter 6, he said, what has light got to do with? So bringing about some distinction that they don't mix. Praise God. Right? But let's read on, because Job says so many things, and we're going to read that. Right? Verse 10 and 11. Verse 10 to 11. See what Job wrote here. I'll start from verse 9. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear you for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him, around his household, and around all that he has on every side? He says, you have blessed the work of his hands and all. Now look at it, verse 11. It says, but now stretch out your hand and touch all he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. Now, again, he paints a picture that the devil has access to God, that he can talk to God, that he can negotiate with God. You understand that, you know, God can just go, sorry, the devil can just go to God on behalf, you know, see, look at Io, is, you know, that's not true. That's not consistent with our God. That's not consistent. God, ma'am? Yes.
Okay, I think based on what you're saying, then the scripture came to my mind where the Bible calls the devil the accuser of the brethren.
Yeah.
At what point does he accuse? How does he accuse the brethren?
We get there. All right? Because if you notice, Jesus talked about that as well. All right? He talked about the person that actually, how the devil does the accusation. All right? We get there. All right? He said it was Moses in the law that accused you. We'll get there in this study. All right. Perhaps one of at some point today we will touch on some point that I want us to see today. Okay. So I've noted that question, but let's continue to build this case. All right. Now, what I'm just trying to do here is that there are some understanding of men of the Old Testament that we need to read carefully. All right. So that we don't because it does not apply today to the believer. That's what I'm trying to say. All right, that the devil can go to God on behalf of a believer when he said, you know, and we're going to read all of those things. Let me just read all that Job said before. So let's read more about Job. Verse 20, chapter 1, verse 20. One of the things that Job said. 20 and 21. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped. You see what he said? See what he attributed to God, all right? And said, naked I came out of my mother's womb. That's very true. Naked shall I return thither. That's very good. Now look at the point here that, again, believers have generally accepted, all right? It says, the Lord gave, the Lord has taken away. In that context, it wasn't God that takes away. God did not kill all of his daughters. God didn't take anything away from Job. Job did not just know who was behind of his misfortune. All right? And we're going to see as I progress today. All right? Now, blessed, if I even gave glory to God, it says, blessed be the name of the Lord for all of this. We will see some more. All right? Now, Job chapter 3. I need to run quickly. Chapter 3, verse 24. We're just analyzing Job today. I want us to see some things. Praise God. This is Job talking here. So Job said, Job 3, 23, 24, 25, 26. See what he said. He says, for my sign came before I eat, meaning my... What's when you sigh? All right, my concern, my worries. All right, Job's anxiety. All right, he came before. So meaning he's got a consciousness, right? Now he says, and my groanings pour out like water. Verse 25, for the things I greatly feared has come upon me. Did you see? So Job has got some fear. Now, where will you see fear, groaning? It's a question of the mind. All right? So, he's got some concerns, some fears, all right, that he said had come upon him. So, he's got some fear, some consciousness. All right? He says, look at what, see what he said. He says, what I dreaded has happened to me. What that which I was afraid of is come upon me. Now, it tells us the things that we should be conscious of. He was conscious, he was anxious of some, of he was afraid of some things, all right? Maybe my children, maybe they disobeyed God and all, and he continued to make sacrifice, all right? Now, he said, the things that I was afraid of, he said, it happened to him. That's what Job said. Job chapter 9. Job chapter 9, still. Verse 32. I'll read quickly. You will notice that Job has got some understanding, but that understanding is not clear. All right? 32. We're talking about God here. It says, For he is not a man, as I am, that I should answer him. Okay, don't worry. And we should come together in judgment. But then, further revelation, further understanding in the writings of the prophet reveals that God actually wants us to come and reason with him. Isaiah said that much. He said, come, let us reason together. Come, let us talk. All right? So, you will get to know that it was Job's ignorance. He could have spoken to God. But then let's look at it. Verse 33. He says, neither is there any days man between us. Now, the days man here will be a mediator, all right? A savior. Someone, but then, is it the case that there's no days man? There is a days man. This is what he needs. He's got the idea, but he did not really understand, all right? He did not really fully comprehend the plan of God, the days man ministry of Jesus. All right, faith in God. It says that might lay his hand upon us. He was talking about, but yet there is that mediator has always been. Abraham knew that much. Praise God. But let's move quickly. Let's move quickly. So, verse 42. I think we read this last week. I mean, I'm just trying to cite some of the things that Job said. All right, that painted God in a light, and we're trying to straighten it. All right, and we said the devil. You know, the devil, some of the things that Job said does not apply to us today. The devil cannot go to God on our behalf. It doesn't. Okay, we'll see. You will get to know that accusation, all right, is not before God. He doesn't go to God and accuse. All right, what the devil does is he questions our mind. He bothers, he accuses us in our mind. That's what he does. All right, and we read it in 1 John. It says that if our conscience, if it judges us, all right, it says that God is higher. All right, so the knowledge which you have is the knowledge of that God that is higher than our conscience, than the accusation of the devil. We're going to read some more. I'm getting excited. Hallelujah. Because the devil has no right. He doesn't. All right, it's been painted here that he can go to God, but no, he doesn't go to God on our behalf or to accuse us before God. Now, let's read. I said we're going to read 42, right? Job 42. I read 1-3. Then Job answered the Lord and said, "I know that you can do everything, and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. You asked, who is he who hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore," look at it. See, "therefore I have uttered what I did not understand." Oh, all right. So it means that all that he wrote before now, what is this? What was his conclusion? I've said, so God take it. God, you know, God gives all of those things. He says he had said many things that he himself did not understand. Look at it. All right. What I did not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. This is the point. Things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. Look at it in verse 5. Verse 5. I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear. That's by rumor. I've heard from this, from there. All right. He said, but now my eye sees you. You didn't see the point. It was later in his experience, all right, that it was. Now, pay attention, friends, because I will ask you some questions now. It was later in his experience that he got the revelation of Jesus, of God. Let me put it better. Now, when, please pay attention to this. When, and let's answer the question. When, eventually, we all know that Job got all of his assets back. All right, God is done. That bit I don't understand. Did the children just grow all of his? I don't. But then he got the children. He got the daughters back. Got his wealth back and all. Now, pay attention, friends, for Job, so that we can know. Did Job sacrifice anything for those daughters to come back? So was it because of sacrifice that he lost? No, he didn't just know. He prayed for his friends, and Bible says God restored everything. Did he sacrifice anything? Did he give any offering? No. All right? So it was just a play of ignorance, purely play of ignorance then. All right? Now, let's just read some scriptures quickly. I want us to read some scriptures quickly. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. We've read it earlier, but I want us to read it quickly. Colossians in the New Testament. Let's now compare that with the New Testament, the truth of the New Testament, where we can have a fuller understanding of God's word. Now, see, it says, talking about God, who has delivered us from the power of darkness, where has he placed us now? And has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. The devil is not in this kingdom. Think about it. He didn't transfer the devil in this kingdom where we operate. It is a family affair. The devil is not here. You understand? All right, and it's an understanding for us to know that we are now in the kingdom of God. Now look at it again. Contrary to what Job to what Job said, John chapter 10. Let's read John chapter 10, verse 28. John 10:28. See what Jesus said. He says, "I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." Did you see? God didn't change. This has always been his method. All right? He told Abraham, he says, I'm your defense. Right from Genesis. I'm your exceedingly great reward. Right from, he didn't change. Men didn't just understand him well. All right? So if God is telling us here that nobody will pluck him out, nobody will pluck us out of his hand, is the same way. All right? Verse 29, he says, my father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my father's hand. In fact, that word no there, that word man there is in italics. What it means is no, nothing, the devil inclusive. Nothing can get us out of the devil's hand, of God's hand, all right? So, and that principle will have applied to Job only if he knew, all right? Praise God. Because I've seen some people that have built an entire doctrine on Job that God gives, he takes away, blesses. That's not God. He's the giver of life. Praise God. He only gives. The Bible says all good and perfect gift comes from our Father, the Father of life, in whom there is no variableness of turning. Hallelujah. So God is a Father of life, is a giver of life. Hallelujah. In Mark chapter 16, verse 15, he says that he has given us authority to cast out devils. All right? So the person we can cast out, is that the one that is going to report us? No, we can cast him out. You understand? He says that we walk upon we will tread upon scorpions, talking about the work of the devil, and it shall not by any means. Not by any means. All right? So that's the picture that was painted because of the limited knowledge they have. All right? But not the true, not the entire knowledge of God. Hallelujah. So there are some things that Job said, all right, that doesn't apply to us today. Now, look at it. 1 John chapter 5, verse 18. I want us to read these things. Hallelujah. It excites me. Oh, praise God. 1 John chapter 5, verse 18. I'll read this. 1 John 5, 18. And we know, whosoever is born of God sins not. But he that is begotten of God, look at it. But he that is begotten of God He says, keepeth himself. Now, that keepeth himself, the himself there is not that I'm keeping myself. What he says, God himself keepeth. That's what he's saying. Anyone that is born of God, God himself keeps. All right? So he says, I like that. He says, and the wicked, glory to God. Do you see a better understanding? He says, and the wicked not cannot touch him. All right? So we read Job based on his level. You know, Bible history has it that he lived even before Abraham, right? That he lived way before Abraham. So his knowledge, understanding of God and the nature of God is limited. All right? But we are reading here, when Jesus had come and had given us a clearer light, he says, and the wicked one touch him not. The devil does not touch us. Touch him not. Praise God. He says, God keeps himself. God himself keeps. I like that. Praise God. So he gave us authority and all. So we need to understand that carefully. And, you know, in reading Job, to know that we have a better light. All right. He spoke in portions. Because now notice, you know, Job talked about a day's man. You know, he talked about Christ. All right. He just didn't understand. That day's man is Christ. Job said, I wish that there is a day's man. There's a mediator. He talked about Christ, but he just didn't fully grasp it. All right? Praise God. Now let's leave Job. We're going to do a proper study on Job so that we can put that in a better light. Okay? Let's see some more things. So I need to say, I wrote this down. I want to say that Satan has no dominion over the believers today. Please, can we say it clear? Can we say it together? Satan has no dominion over me. I want us to know that. Now, let's quickly do another one. Let's see King Saul. You know, we have this saying about King Saul. 1 Samuel chapter 9. 1 Samuel chapter 9. Sorry, chapter 19, verse 9. We all know the story of Saul. 1 Samuel chapter 19, verse 9. I read, it says, and the evil spirit from the Lord abah. It says, an evil spirit from the Lord was upon Saul. He sat in his house and all. Now, look at that. Evil spirit from the Lord. But then, was that not the spirit that when Jesus came, he was casting out? That get out of. It can't. So we need to read it again. All right, that it can't be from the Lord. Bible, it says there's no evil, there's no iota. It says, you know, we read it earlier. It says there's no darkness that is in God. All right, so he calls it evil spirit that is from the Lord. Okay, now let's read that same chapter, verse 16. 1 Samuel chapter 16. One story, one Christ, one story. 1 Samuel 16, 14. Pay attention to this. Look at this. 1 Samuel 16, 14. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. Ha ha. And an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. Verse 15. And Saul's servant said to him, behold, now an evil spirit from God troubled him. So notice who spoke there. Saul's servant. They said, an evil spirit from the Lord. Okay? But then we must know that that's not consistent with what we read in the New Testament, okay? Because there's no evil spirit from Jesus. There's no evil spirit from the Lord. Let's see some other things. Isaiah chapter 45. Isaiah 45. I mean, what this is helping us to do is to know, to say, N-K-N-O-W, to say no to the devil. So resist the devil. Don't let the devil come in disguise. Oh, evil spirit. If it's evil spirit, it can never be from God. You know why? But, you know, in Matthew, time will not permit us to read this because I'm looking at it. Bible says that a tree cannot bear two kinds of fruit. If it's a good tree, it will only bear good fruits. If it's a bad tree, it will only bear bad fruits. A tree cannot bear good and bad. Same tree, no. All right? Jesus himself told us that much. All right? So, he says, from their fruit we know. So, from the fruit of, if it's an evil spirit, it is never from God. We need to be clear with that. So, let's read some other things that prophets of the Old Testament said about God. Isaiah 45, verse 7. Isaiah 45, verse 7. I mean, we're just handpicking, okay? See what it said. Verse 7. Isaiah 45, 7. It says, I form the light. I create darkness. I make peace. I create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. But then, what he's saying here is that where you can find where God formed the light, you go back and read Genesis. Ma'am, if you read that story, we did a short study, we're going to do a proper one last year at our end of year service. Was it God that created that darkness? What did God do? He separated. He called out the light. That was what God did. So God did not form, God did not create darkness. All right? He didn't create peace. We don't deny their existence, all right? But we know that God separated it. He didn't leave them, and he gave us authority over them. So God does not create evil, all right? That's a misrepresentation of God. We can see that clearly, all right? Knowing that Jesus Christ had now come to reveal God to us. So the boys in the Bible is there. Well, we are reading better. We can really meet with the light. Know that those men, they spoke about God, but then we have a better light in Christ Jesus. Praise God. Let's see some more. Amos chapter 3. Amos chapter 3. Verse number 6. Amos chapter 3, verse 6. Shall a trumpet be blown in the city and the people not be afraid? Look at it. Shall there be evil in a city and the Lord had not done it? You don't see. He says, surely, verse 7, the Lord will not do anything, but he reveals his secret unto... That's true, he does reveal his secret, but then unto his servant, the prophet. But the Lord does not cause evil. Right? Because you read that. Now, if you read the New Testament, nobody needs to tell us that God does not kill. It's so clear. And you can see a frantic effort from the writers of the New Testament, how they were trying to paint God. In him, there is no variableness. God is good. All right? They were deliberate in their presentation of who God is. All right? And don't forget, they too, they've read this. Notice they did not quote this bit, but yet they quoted Isaiah, they quoted Amos, they quoted all of this. But notice there were some parts, all right? It's like as though they did selective picking. The part that dealt with what Jesus has done. Hallelujah. And so we can learn from their picking and from the way they interpreted the Old Testament and read likewise as well. Some more that I want us to do, that I want us to read today. 2 Samuel. Please pay attention. Let's read this together. 2 Samuel chapter 24, verse 1. 2 Samuel 24, verse 1. I read. And again the anger of the Lord was kindled. The anger of the Lord, was kindled against Israel. And he moved David. What? How? So, look at that, sir. So God moved David to number Israel. And God came to punish him. Is that not a temptation? I said, brother, go to that room. Then I said, for going to that room, I'll punish. All right? He said, the anger of the Lord aroused or was kindled against the house of Israel, and that anger of the Lord moved David against them to say, go and number the house of Israel. But then, See, one thing I want us to know is that the knowledge was progressive, right? Years later, another writer will write about this same event. I want us to see how he wrote it. Because, you know, I was trying to do some study. Did they write it about the same time? I got to know it was years apart. Chronicles. That's right. Chronicles. 1 Chronicles chapter 21. That, don't forget, it's that same event, that same story. All right? First Chronicles chapter 21. Read it properly. Let's read together. Now, who did?
Satan stood up against Israel.
But that man, that person, the person that wrote somewhere, all right? History has it that it was Ezra that wrote Chronicles, all right? And that was years after. Don't forget, Ezra was written after they've gone to exile, all right? All right? Now, this is years later, a better light, a better understanding. See? And the perpetrator was better pointed out. He says, and Satan stood up again and provoked David. So who tempted David? Satan. All right? But then you have read the story, but it says, and God. So we need to put that clear, that is not God. Amen. Now let's see some more scriptures. Praise God. Now notice, how many people died in that event? 70,000 people died because of that error. That can't be God. All right? Because of that numbering of David, the censor, 70,000 people died. All right? That can't be God. All right? The type of God that was painted by some people, that God should be in jail. You know what I'm saying? Quote and unquote. All right? 70,000 people. That cannot be God. All right. Now let's just read some story quickly. Matthew chapter 7. Let's come to the New Testament and read better about who this God is. Matthew chapter 7, verse 17 and 18. Matthew chapter 7, 17 and 18. It says, you know, just an illustration here. It says, even so, every good tree bring forth good fruits. You do see? But a corrupt tree bring forth evil tree, evil fruit. So who brings forth evil fruits? A corrupt tree. All right? Good fruits can only come, a good tree can only produce, all right, a good fruit. Verse 18. It says a good tree cannot. You don't see the point. It not may not. It cannot bring forth evil. He says, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good. Do you see the point? All right? So, and this is Jesus telling us this. Notice that all of Jesus' parable, it was to correct something. To correct something. For example, when Jesus said that, do you not know that whatever people eat, all right, goes to the tummy, goes to the digestive system, produces nutrients, and go to the loo. All right? He just didn't give us that parable for fun. He gave that parable to correct Genesis. People that said he ate something, he says that's not what defines the man. You understand? So Jesus told us that much that is whatever you eat cannot defile. So that applies to Adam. So it was not about him eating apple or guava or cashew, whatever. Okay? All right? So we need to reread that part of the scripture and give it a better understanding. Now, John chapter 1 verse 5. Let's read John chapter 1 verse 5. John chapter 1. 1 John 1 5. 1 John 1 5. 1 John 1:5. Look at it. He says, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declared unto you. So how did we hear this message? We had this message from God and we have declared it unto us that what? God is light. And who? And what? And what more? And in him, there is no darkness at all. Can you see that absoluteness? There is no darkness whatsoever. At all. None at all. So whatever you can call darkness, all right, evil, death, it is not from God. Now, see what John, it says, this is the message that we've had of Jesus, all right? All right? That God is light and in him there is no darkness at all. Let's read some more. 1 John chapter 8 verse 12. Let's read John 8:12. I read quickly. Jesus spake unto them, saying, I'm the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in the darkness, but shall have the light of life. Praise God. All right. So these are the things that we should understand about God, about who our God is and all. Now, I will just give us some references quickly, because I want us to move to other things next week. Exodus chapter 20, verse 5. You will see Moses talking about the fact that Moses said that, the father, that God will visit the sin of the children up onto the fifth generation. But you notice Ezekiel corrected him. So let me give you that reference that I'm going to read. Exodus 25, that was what Moses said that. But Ezekiel, in Ezekiel 18 verse 2 and 18 verse 19 to 20, he says, what is this proverb that has been said in Israel? Even then, in the old, he corrected it. He says that it will not be. He says that the fathers have eaten sour grape, all right, and that the mouth of the children are set on edge. He says it will not be said again. That whosoever sinned, that whichever soul sinned, shall die. That's a correction of what was said earlier. That proverb started, was, all right? But what is being corrected, all right? So I want us to know that there are things that were said about God that was being corrected. Praise God. So, praise God. So let me just put this quickly so that we can wrap up today because of our time. We must therefore be conscious of our Father. That's what I want to say. We must be conscious of our Father. Well, I want to answer that question, okay? I want to answer that question that you said. Hebrews chapter 2. Go to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews verse 14 and 15. Hebrews 2, 14 and 15. I read. He says, inasmuch as the children have partaken of the flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that, pay attention now, so that's Jesus, that through death might destroy him who had the power. So all the while, who had now the power of death? The devil. That is the devil. Now look at it. How was he operating in verse 15? And to release those who what? True fear. So what's the devil's game? Fear. Fear of death. That you will die. So actually, the devil is not accusing us. He's accusing us. Not before God. He plays, Bible calls, it's a that fairy dart of the wicked one. Worries, anxiety. That's the accusation. You pray this morning. You didn't pray. We're supposed to, you said you pray 30 minutes. You pray 29 minutes. Yeah. You said you will do. It never gets before God. It doesn't accuse us before God. Right? So what it does is through the fear of death, and it is because people don't know. What should we do? We resist him. We don't enter. He says we don't give room for the devil. All right? See how he plays his game? He says so that we can release through those who through fear of death were subject. How long? Their lifetime. From the beginning of the world. All right? We're wrapping up now. All right? That's why we must be careful. We must never allow him. All right? We must. So it's through death. He accuses people in their mind. Hallelujah. All right? So it's the devil that does all of those. So again, like I said, in wrapping up, we must be conscious. We must now, I don't want us to stay in the darkness and be looking at light. We must come into the light and look at what is there. Because we are now in the light, we have a better light. Hallelujah. Now, see, if God was to mark iniquity, David said it, Psalm 130, he said, none of us will stand. A quick scenario of Jesus' encounter with people. Jesus and his encounter with the Samaritan woman. That woman had married five husbands. All right? The sixth one is not even the husband. Do you know how Jesus dealt with that man, that woman? He didn't embarrass that woman. All right? He told her what she just needed to know to believe. All right? And that was where that story... He didn't say, you did... No! They caught a woman in the very act. They said, Moses said, you know what? How Jesus dealt with it? All right? It didn't even count. Any of you that have not done it, Jesus said. And all of them left. Jesus will say that, hey, where are your accusers? Are they all gone? Hey, me too, I don't accuse you. You understand? So, see, Jesus said, I also am not judging. Can you see the point? All right? So, God doesn't judge. Two quick stories again. We are not reading this. The children of his, the disciples of Jesus Christ, they met him. Oh, they were not going to let him go. Let's call fire. Like, all right? Can you see Jesus' disposition towards things that we have references for in the scripture? He said, no, you don't do that. All right? They accused Jesus in Matthew chapter 9, verse 10 to 13, that he was even eating with sinners. He was eating with tax collectors. All right? But that's Jesus for you. That's what Jesus does. All right? And that is the light with which we must see God. Hallelujah. All right? So that's the light with which we... So we must be conscious of that. All right? So I don't... The reason I won't sin is not because if I sin, it will punish me. No. The reason I will not sin is because if I sin, it won't punish me. He has loved me that much, so much. That's why I won't sin. It's from that point of view that we deal with God. Hallelujah. All right? We're going to continue from there next week. All right? Still, we are building a case for the things we're going to say later. All right? Trying to see that, but they said this in the Old Testament. Oh, but Bible says that, and God hardened the heart of Pharaoh. Does God, all right? We need to know that the men who wrote those things, their understanding, summarily now, about God was limited. All right? And that we can now better put that understanding in place, interpret that knowledge based on the light that we have in Christ Jesus. Have you been blessed at all? Does it make sense to us today? All that we are doing today is we don't want to allow the devil to cheat us. He plays on people's ignorance, all right? And he cheats them because people don't know. I want us to be well equipped that God is for us. Please, can we say God is for me? God is for me. I'm on the Lord's side. God is never against me. God does not judge me. I have passed from death to life. I've moved from condemnation into God's righteousness. I am justified. I'm loved by God. I have the blessings of God. Hallelujah. I have authority over the devil. I have authority over the devil. Hallelujah. Praise God.